Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. How are you? Welcome to Update, your weekday rundown of the main news that's been happening over the past 24 hours or so. Coming up before 5:30, what should happen with the Park Road site in Douglas? Well, an MHK will push Timald for action on this later this month. We'll have some news about Manx Telecom prices, which are going up from the start of August. Also, what's happening with the Douglas lifeboat. And as we continue to look forward to the Island Games, we're going to speak tonight to members of the Manx Triathlon squad. We'll also keep an eye on the weather and the latest traffic and travel as well. And as ever, if you spot anything when you're out and about and you're able to let us know, we really do appreciate it. studio@manxradio.com, or you can text us. It's 166 177. We'll start though with a look at the main news headlines with Lewis Fastamai.
A 14-year-old accused of the murder of another teenager has appeared in court. The juvenile, who can't be named for legal reasons, appeared at Douglas Courthouse via video link this morning and spoke only to confirm his name. He was charged after 14-year-old Christopher McBurney died as a result of a stab wound in Ramsey in May. Isle of Man tennis player Billy Harris is on court number two, battling to keep his Wimbledon campaign going. The former Castletown and Albany player is currently 2 sets to love down, with a third set underway against Portugal's Nuno Borges. Manx Telecom has announced an upcoming 3.5% price increase. The company says it's necessary in light of ongoing mounting global and national inflationary cost pressures. And a tribute parade lap will be taking place around the TT course this evening to celebrate and remember the life of Joey Dunlop. Today marks 25 years since the motorsport icon died following a racing incident in Estonia. The lap will get underway from the grandstand at 7 o'clock. In the international news, Sean Diddy Combs has been cleared of racketeering and sex trafficking his ex-partner Cassandra Ventura and another woman. But the 55-year-old US rapper, who's been behind bars since he was arrested last September, has been convicted of 2 counts of trafficking for prostitution. Over in the UK, there was an extraordinary Prime Minister's Questions in the Commons earlier, which raised its own questions about the future of Rachel Reeves. The UK Chancellor was visibly upset as she sat next to Sir Keir Starmer, who refused to confirm her job was safe following yesterday's welfare climb-down. And the Princess of Wales has spoken candidly about the life-changing long-term challenges of recovering after chemotherapy. Kate's been visiting a hospital in Essex. Those are the headlines. We'll be back with the news at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much indeed, Lewis. Now looking at the weather, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. It's going to stay fine this evening, dry and clear overnight as well. Light winds, minimum temperatures overnight will be around 10. Tomorrow it will be dry and bright at first, but it will cloud over by the afternoon. And we can expect some showery rain for a time. It will become dry again then later in the evening, and the winds will increase fresh in places. Maximum temperatures tomorrow around 18. And then just looking ahead to Friday, dry on Friday morning, but outbreaks of rain will develop in the afternoon and evening as that wind will increase to fresh to strong. Sunset this evening will be at 9:54, sunrise tomorrow morning 4:51.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614-841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One architectural design company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 5:05. Now, for more than 10 years, the former Park Road site in Douglas has pretty much been a wasteland. It sits right in the heartland of the East Douglas constituency and would seem to be an opportunity waiting to be exploited. So why hasn't it been developed into anything, really? There have been a number of suggestions, a primary school, sheltered housing or affordable housing. Well, in a motion before Tynwald this month, the local MHK, Joni Farragher, will try and force some action, as John Moss reports.
Who would have thought that 12 years later it would still be sitting vacant? And the residents of this area, you know, my constituents, are frustrated with the lack of progress on this, you know, prime land in the heart of our capital. And also, I do regularly get constituent emails with regard to Skull and Jubilee and the necessary upgrading of its facilities and premises. So really what I'm trying to do here is pull together two constituent issues and hopefully get some prioritisation of development of this site into a school.
Well, just wander over here a minute, because it's a big site and it goes on sort of two levels. Why do you think this hasn't been developed?
Maybe it comes down to money, maybe it comes down to prioritisation, maybe it's handy for whatever it's being used as at the moment, maybe it's generating
well
funds.
It's a fairly,
I'm not sure.
Using,
I mean,
it as a car auction lot is just a one-off, obviously.
I really do not know, but I have asked multiple questions about the development of this site over the two desk ministers in this administration, and the answers that I've received have almost been word for word exactly the same. Indicates to me that there isn't progress being made on redevelopment.
Can
of
I
this
just come
site.
In there? If this hadn't been a school before, would you be so keen to have it a school now? Isn't this not a great site for social housing, for instance?
It could be, yeah, it could be. But at the moment, the desk own it, and we need a new premises for Skull and Jubilee.
I then went outside the site to talk to a couple of the residents on Hillary Road.
We went to see the plans in sheltered accommodation, two blocks of flats and six houses for supported living. My age point of view, sheltered and supported living would be good.
You actually went to Park Road School?
Yeah.
So
no.
What do you want to happen on the site?
Well, sheltered housing is important because a lot of old people like on the island, and sheltered housing would be a good thing.
There were some of the people there that John was talking to about the former Park Road school site. Really interesting that person he was talking to there was actually a former pupil of Park Road. Much more on this story at manxradio.com. And as we say, it is going to come up in Tynwald this month, that motion from the Douglas East MHK, Joni Farragher. It's 7:30 past five. Well, the Council of Ministers has taken its public roadshow to Douglas. That happened last night. The second Listening to You session was held at Ballacameen High School. Government officials say 54 people turned up to quiz ministers on everything from housing to healthcare. And here's what some of them told us when we asked what made them go along.
20 miles per hour has finally come up in the Q&A session. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it did. It didn't come up last night. It came up when people came to talk to us on the one-to-one, but probably about maybe half the people that came to talk to us wanted to talk about 20s, and there was a pretty even split between support and people objecting to some or part of the scheme. Councillor Ministers have obviously supported the implementation plan that we put forward, and they've obviously voted for that in Tynwald. So, it has become part of what the government is doing. It obviously, as the Chief Minister said tonight, it wasn't in the island plan originally, so it wasn't really on the horizon and wasn't on the to-do list, but the Tynwald decisions have forced the department into having to take action.
So you're saying force there. Does that mean that there is that kind of inclination to want to do it, or do you feel like you're kind of being pushed down in one angle because it's been a Tynwald resolution?
I think the Tynwald resolution back in 2023 was unanimous. So everyone, even the Council of Ministers at that time, supported it going through. And so, in effect, they had voted to put it back on the agenda, and it's landed on the department's agenda for me
Douglas
to try and
deliver.
Douglas
needs some help in coordinating itself and making Alice more... the island itself more attractive as the sort of gateway way to come in. Prom, I feel, is underutilised, underappreciated in how it's in its appearance.
I'm just here to listen and watch. So
I'm a new resident on the island, and I decided, well, I must find out what's going on. Well, a simple thing like this library story, I mean, why isn't the government helping the people? Why do we have to fundraise ourselves? There's a lot of good people, you know, making decisions, but it is nice to also hear the public and have some feedback.
There were some of the people who went along to the roadshow in Douglas at Ballacameen High School last night, that Listening to You roadshow. It's happening tonight in Castle Rushen. It's getting underway in around about sort of 20 minutes or so. So we'll bring you the very latest on that on Breakfast tomorrow. It's coming up to 5:10 now, and some news from the world of business, and actually some not so great news if you're keeping track of bills, because Manx Telecom has today announced an upcoming 3.5% price increase. I'm joined in the studio now by Lewis Foster. So first of all, Lewis, I suppose the question is, when is this coming in and why?
Yeah, fast am I. So Manx Telecom published this notice today ahead of a change on the 1st of August. And it says this increase is necessary in light of ongoing mounting global and national inflationary cost pressures. We saw last week with the latest inflation report that the Isle of Man's consumer inflation rate increased in May to 2.6%, up from 2.3% in April.
Okay, so do we know what's going to be affected then?
Most Manx Telecom products and services, really. Fixed line rentals with no copper broadband service. All call setup charges increasing from 23 pence to 24 pence. That applies to talk over fibre, talk only. Fixed call charge rates to all destinations increasing by 1 pence or 3.5%, whichever is greater. All live and legacy broadband tariffs and mobile tariffs as well. And if you're not already receiving your bills via email for free, the charge for opting for paper billing will increase from £3.50 to £4.
So, Lewis, for anyone who is concerned about the impact this increase could have on their bills, is there anything they can do?
Well, as this is a regulatory notice, customers maintain a right to terminate their contracts and can do so if they are within their minimum contract term period and have a valid reason to terminate their agreement prior to the contract end date. They may do so without incurring an early termination charge for the provision of affected services. If this applies, you will be able to cancel your affected contract up to and including the 30th of October. Charges will be backdated to the 1st of August, the date on which these new rates are applied. And of course, you can find all that information and a link to the notice given by Manx Telecom today over at manxradio.com.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. It is coming up to 5:12. A man from Macclesfield will stand trial after denying attempting to remove nearly £50,000 of criminal cash from the Isle of Man. Siobhan Fletcher reports.
Russell Lee Hyde of Beachview Cottages appeared at Douglas Courthouse, where he entered a not guilty plea to the offence. The 48-year-old was stopped at the sea terminal on the 15th of June by customs officers, who said he appeared agitated and nervous throughout. He told the officers he was leaving the island to attend his father's funeral, but no bags or spare clothes were present in the car. Police dogs uncovered £47,960 in cash in six large packages concealed within the spare tyre under the vehicle. The prosecution told the court this showed an element of sophistication and planning. Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood declined jurisdiction over the case. Committal proceedings, where the case is elevated instead to the Court of General Jail Delivery, will take place on the 26th of August.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting. 5:13 now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's nothing to report on the police pages, which is always good at this time of night. The temporary traffic light situation, there are some in Santon on the Newcastle Town Road, that's near Mount Murray for resurfacing. Also on Colby Level near the Croyty Cayley Turn, that's for bus stop improvement. There are temporary lights on the Glenfaber Road in Peel, that's near the new sewage treatment plant, that's for service supply work. In Sulby, temporary lights on Sulby Bridge, that's for work on the manholes. And in Laxey, there are restrictions in place on Glen Road and at the bottom end of Minorca Hill. And again, that's for work on manholes. And here in Douglas, all this week, the bottom of Victoria Road is closed between Broadway and Stanley Place. Again, that's for some resurfacing work. Just looking down at the airport, there is a delay on the Liverpool flight, the Logan Air there, that was supposed to go at 6:20. It's delayed just about, 40 minutes or so till about 7:05. And then down at the steam packet, all looking pretty good. The Manxman due into Douglas Harbour at around 6 p.m, heading out again at 7:45. And the Mananin is on its way to Liverpool and should be getting there in around 15 minutes or so.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It is coming up to 5:15 here on Update. As ever, if you've got anything to let us know about or you'd like to comment on any of the stories that we're talking about, you can always get in touch by email, studio@manxradio.com. You can text us 166177 or email the WhatsApp page as well. Now, Douglas RNLI's Mersey-class lifeboat is currently out of service after suffering a technical failure. The charity is hoping to have a temporary replacement vessel in place in the coming weeks, as Sian Cowper reports.
The RNLI confirmed to Manx Radio that its technical team has been working to find a solution since the vessel suffered a failure. Mersey-class vessels have largely been withdrawn from service in recent years, with Douglas's Joy and Charles Beebe, one of just two, still on station in the British Isles. The charity says the quickest and most cost-effective solution to restore service in Douglas is to return the station's former lifeboat, Ruby Clary, back to the Manx capital on a temporary basis whilst repairs to the current lifeboat are undertaken. Ruby Clary has more than 30 years' experience in Manx waters, having previously been stationed in Peel, Ramsey and Douglas. She's had to undergo an intensive period of maintenance and will be lifted back into the water this week, ahead of sea trials next week. If those trials and system checks prove satisfactory, passage arrangements will be made to return her to Douglas. The RNLI says it's confident there's sufficient lifeboat coverage across the Isle of Man during this period, with cover available from neighbouring stations at Port St Mary and Ramsey. The charity added that it understands this is a challenging time for all at the station and thanked the crew for their patience and understanding.
Sian Cowper reporting there. It is 16 minutes past five now, and Port St Mary commissioners say seaweed on its beach is not an issue at the moment, but it will be introducing a new clearing schedule. Clerk Hayley Convig has confirmed the board has a budget of £5,000 a year, which covers two removals, one before Easter and the other around September time.
So at the moment, the seaweed on the beach isn't an issue for us. However, hot weather, it will become an issue. We have a built-up area at the bottom of Happy Valley where it all congregates and stays and doesn't seem to move. We are a tidal beach, so the seaweed comes in and the next day the beach is clear again. We have a contract with a farmer. We budget for twice a year cleans. We haven't used him yet this year, but we have one scheduled. We're just waiting for it to fit in with him and what works for him. He takes the seaweed away. He has a license from DEFA and he uses it on his land in accordance with the DEFA issued license.
And how much of a problem is seaweed in the village on the beach? Do you find it's like mostly just a smell issue, or does it affect wildlife and things like that?
I couldn't comment on affecting wildlife, but it certainly attracts vermin. Obviously it causes a fly issue. And yeah, the smell isn't great and it's near the shop end and the residence end, which isn't ideal. So it does cause us an issue. The last time that we had it done last year, they actually removed 40 tonnes from the built-up area. So it is a large amount. Our plan is now, we had a year where we couldn't do it because the farmer had issues with his machinery. However, that's all back up and running now. So our plan is that we'll hopefully, we budget for twice, hopefully doing it once will be enough.
That is Clerk of Port St Mary Commissioners Hayley Convig, who is talking to our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper there. 17 and a half minutes past five. Just spotted some good news, actually. The Douglas Bay Horse Tramway has been chosen as part of the Seaside Heritage UK Bucket and Spade Top 10 Seaside Attractions. This is on the Isle of Man Railway's Facebook page, but we'll be sharing it as well. And they're asking you to vote for the horse tram as your favourite seaside experience for 2025. They've got the link there, and just keeping their fingers crossed, because that'd be a nice thing for that to win, wouldn't it? Now, speaking of winning, the Manx Triathlon squad for this year's Island Games will see a blend of experience and new blood. And there's real optimism as to what the 10-strong team can achieve. Now, recently we spoke with team manager Ewan Kinley, along with competitor Clara Isaac, who actually will be making her Island Games debut in Orkney later this month.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So I started triathlon just a year ago, but super grateful to be asked to go to the Island Games this year in Orkney. We're feeling ready. It's been what feels like a long winter's training, but ready to get out there and give it a go.
And Ewan, along with Clara, there's a few new additions to the team compared to Guernsey just under 2 years ago. What fresh impetus do you think this new team will bring this year?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we get new people into it. This year we've got four women going in the individual, and it's the first time I'm pretty sure that we've ever had four or been in a position to take four women to the event, which is really good. And out of those, there's only Caitlin Gelder, who has competed before at Island Games. So there's three new people, but really strong athletes. In the men's, we've got people who've come back who have competed before, but we've also got a couple of new people in that as well. So, you know, it's really good that we've got younger people coming through and talented athletes as well.
What is the hope? What would class as a successful Island Games this year?
I think certainly a success, and I think it's really achievable that both the men and ladies team that will team medal, certainly silver if not gold. And individually, the females are a little bit unknown at that level of competition. Guernsey and Jersey always turn out new females, so it's hard to predict what they're going to have. Certainly in the men's, I would think three or four of our men are going to be in the top 10, and even if they're not in the top half dozen, certainly one or two of them there have got to be pushing for medals, individual medals.
Clara, from your side of things, have you got any personal objectives in mind for opening?
I think we've got a really strong team, both male and female, and for us, you know, just to go out there, have a great time, you know, enjoy each other's company, support each other and do the best that we possibly can.
Clara Isaac and Jewin Kinley there. We wish them all the very, very best. And once again, the 2025 Island Games scheduled to take place from the 12th until the 18th of July. And you can hear an extended interview with Jewin and Clara on the Manx Radio Sportscast, which you can find at manxradio.com. Now, something happening this evening is the fact that the Joey Dunlop Foundation is inviting motorcyclists to join in on a tribute parade lap. Today marks 25 years since the world lost road racing and motorsport legend Joey Dunlop. That was in the year 2000. The foundation's trustee, Bruce Baker, says they'd really like to unite fans, riders and supporters to remember Joey's legacy, and he is expecting many people to turn out.
The forecast is looking good, so we do anticipate quite a large turnout. It's 25 years on, but people haven't forgotten Joey by any means. And what's quite heartwarming is the new generations that come through. You know, there's a lot of support there from people that would never have had the chance to meet Joey in their lifetime, but they do want to come together, and you know, they can share stories with those that were here to see Joey's achievements.
I know the Dunlop family as a whole, that name holds lots of weight here on the island. Lots of people respect that family as well.
They do, yes, privacy at these times, but they have said that they're quite touched by how many people actually want to pay their respects on the 2nd of July for the family. They miss him terribly every day. And, you know, it's just this year is quite a significant milestone, which people have picked up on. Fond memories for some and, you know, aspirations for others.
I know you mentioned memories. Do you perhaps have any memories that you could share with us?
With my brother, when we first moved over to the Isle of Man back in 1987, we were at the Southern 100 road races and Joey was pointed out. And I remember my brother running after him with his little pen and race guide to get a signature. And we used to just sit on the hedge and watch Joey. I never actually got to personally meet Joey, but when I joined the foundation, the family just welcomed me in with open arms, and you know, I've known the family since then.
That's the trustee of the Joey Dunlop Foundation, Bruce Baker, who was talking to Chanel. If you'd like to take part in that lap tonight, they're gathering in Douglas in just over an hour's time, so 6:30 at the TT Grandstand Pit Lane, and the lap will start at 7. And it is going to take place, obviously, on open public roads, so anyone involved is asked to ride responsibly and, of course, just adhere to the general road rules. Now, the chair of Andrea's Commissioners says people should not underestimate the power of their community after they opened their new play area. It was paid for by fundraising from local charities, and Jackie Farragher said they had a number of setbacks during the process, but they did persevere.
It's been a long time coming, a long time since we first decided in 2021 that the old park was reaching its sell-by date. And how easy would it be for us to just put up another play park?
How have you found the process?
Oh, absolutely a weight off our shoulders. I'm sure our clerk, Maureen Callow, would agree with that. There was quite a lot to go to start with. We wanted to take some trees down. Obviously, we were refused permission. So then we chose another area to put the park. Again, we had to apply for planning and wait for that. Then we wanted to start the groundwork, but we couldn't because of the bird nesting season. So everything seemed to be sort of stepping in our way to try and slow us down. But we persevered. And we're here today, and I don't think we could ask for a better play park.
Obviously, the commissioners did a lot of fundraising for this event, and you mentioned in your speech when you were cutting the ribbon about how many people were involved, but there's one person you really want to thank, isn't there?
Absolutely. Maureen has worked her socks off tirelessly. Every time we have a meeting, we discuss things, and off she goes, and then she's come back because there's another trip hazard or a stumbling block. So then we've changed direction, and then Maureen's had to go off again. The commissioners is nothing without their clerk, and Andrew's parish commissioners are nothing without Maureen Callow as their clerk. I think everybody in Andrew's, whether it's been the darts match, the pub quiz, the Christmas fair, anything at all that's happened in the village, everybody's thrown themselves wholeheartedly in.
That is the chair of Andrew's Commissioners, and that was Jackie Farragher talking to Emma Draper there. Now, I am joined in the studio by Rob Pritchard, our sports editor. Time for some sports news. First of all, the big news, though. We want to know how Billy Harris has got on.
Yes, some breaking news in just the last couple of moments. Unfortunately, Billy Harris has been knocked out in the second round of the gentlemen's singles at Wimbledon this afternoon. He's been beaten by 37th in the world ranked Nuno Borges, 6-3, 6-4, 7-6. So some pretty close sets there, including a tiebreak right at the end there, which could have swung either way, to be perfectly honest. Well, that means that Nuno Borges will face Karen Khachanov in the next round. Well, despite the defeat for Billy Harris, this is his best ever performance so far at a Grand Slam. He, of course, made his Wimbledon debut last year. He lost out in the first round that year, so he's made it one stage further this time around. And as you've just heard from the scoreline there as well, although it is a straight sets defeat, very close game indeed across those sets as well. And of course, he calls the likes of Albany and Castletown amongst his previous clubs as well. And no doubt all those connected with him and those who know him, very proud of how he's got on at this Grand Slam event. So hopefully Billy Harris progress there for the future. Elsewhere, Tommy Fenlon and Kaylee Dawson have been crowned winners of this year's Isle of Man Golf Championships. In the rearranged remainder of this year's finals at the Comus at Mount Murray last night, Fenlon overcame Daryl Collister in the men's final by a score of 1-up on the 36th hole. Meanwhile, Dawson overcame this year's ladies' Isle of Man Stroke Play Championship winner Sarah Blackman 3-2 on the 34th. It's a first ever national title for Fenlon, who on the way to beating Collister in the final also knocked out defending champion of the last 3 years, Rob Noon, in the quarterfinal stage. Elsewhere, it's a third Isle of Man Championship crown in the last 4 years for Dawson, who also lifted the silverware in 2022 and 2023. Well, the finals had previously gotten underway on Sunday, the 29th of June. However, play was halted that day due to deteriorating weather, and that meant the remainder of the fixtures were then carried out on Tuesday evening this week. And finally, Isle of Man pro boxer Jamie Devine's latest fight this weekend has been cancelled. The Ireland fighter had been due to appear on VIP Boxing's card at Robin Park Leisure Centre in Wigan this Saturday. However, the promoter has confirmed it's called off the show due to a 10-fight card being down to just 3 and being unable to find replacements for the remaining bouts despite big efforts. VIP Boxing is apologising to fighters and fans, adding all tickets will be refunded at the point of purchase. Devine last got into the ring on Sunday the 27th of April in Liverpool, where he earned a stoppage win against Luis Ricardo Ramirez.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. And as you said, we are all incredibly proud of Billy Harris. So well done there. We look forward to seeing what he does next. That is all from Update this evening. On the programme next is Spotlight with Howard Kane. Chris Kinley will be here with Greatest Hits from 6. From 9, Andy Wint has Country Roads. And then Dave will round off your Wednesday with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a great one. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.